Kum lenin ablak gemara matzoy shabbos nevorchim shvat parshas shmeis. We are up to the Mishnah of Memtes Amud Aleph, and this Mishnah is very relevant today, this year. When Pesach falls out on matzoy shabbos, what are you meant to do on shabbos? Our bo also shacholis b'shabbos. If Pesach falls out on Sunday, so erev Pesach on shabbos. So we do bedikas chametz on Thursday night with a bracha. But when do you rid the house of the chametz? Mevarin is hakol melifnei Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Meir says you have to burn the chametz on Friday. Now there's a big machlekes Rishayim, because even though the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir, we all do like Rabbi Meir. The machlekes Rishayim. So when do you burn it on Friday? A minute before Shabbos, or do you have to do it as if it would have been erev Pesach, like 11 o'clock in the morning? And the halacha Shulchan Aruch is we should do it 11 o'clock in the morning, no different than any other year. The only thing that we don't do is we don't do the bittul. We don't say Kol Chamir of the Chamir, that you wait until Shabbos morning and you say then 11 o'clock. Because you're going to have chametz in your house that you're saving for Shabbos. And Shulchan Aruch advises not to have too much chametz, cook all your food. And they say either eat it cold or cook in a paste like a thing and just have a chametz, make sure you don't make your crumbs, you throw it down the toilet. Actually, Shulchan Aruch says you can leave it on the floor and trample over it so it loses any status of chametz. And a chametz bezmano, you can have all the chametz and get rid of it on Shabbos. Shulchan talks about you give it to a goy as a gift. You should take it away from you. And you know you're not allowed to give gifts on Shabbos, but in this case you're allowed to. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok goy metruma melifnei Shabbos. But truma, get rid of it before Shabbos, because where are you going to find keepers and takers on Shabbos? But the chulin bezmano, chulin can wait till Shabbos morning, because you can invite people and they'll eat up the whole chametz. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Tzadok goymer. Pamach is born Shabbos Abba beYavne. My father rested in Yavne. V'chol Abba asli beShabbos. Erev Pesach was a Shabbos. Uvah Zunin memoinish shagamilu. Memoinish shagamilu. Came along a fellow called Zunin, who was an appointee, or Zonin, an appointee. Rabbi Gamliel, but Amar, he said, Higi Eis Levayis Chametz. It's time to burn the Chametz. And it was Shabbos. V'lachti Achar Abba beYavne Chametz. And it sounds like this is the only time to burn the Chametz. You didn't have to burn it on Friday at all. So the halacha is, it sounds like the halacha was about Tzadik, but nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch, we follow Rameir. Next Mishnah. Somebody goes to Shechtes Korban Pesach, you're on the way to these two prominent mitzvahs. Or you're going to your father-in-law's house, because an engagement party, in those days, engagement was from the Torah, you got married 12 months later. Interesting, it says the house of your father-in-law, so we're talking about the chassan himself. So some people learn that the only one who says it has a mitzvah to eat at that meal, it's a sort of mitzvah, is the chassan. Others delete the words with base chamav. Anybody who joins and participates in that meal is called a sudas mitzvah. Son of Beniski remembers she yesh le chamav bebeis. He remembers he has chametz at home. So it depends. Im yochel lachzer v'levaya v'lachzer mitzvahs. If you have enough time to go home and get rid of the chametz, yachzer v'yevaya v'imlah. But if not, mevatle b'libah. If not, you just go ahead and you do bittul, even though we don't like you doing bittul without getting rid of the chametz. But in this case, because you're on the way to do a mitzvah, you don't have enough time, go ahead and do bittul. Big argument, so what happens if you cannot do bittul? What happens if it's already after 12 o'clock and you cannot do bittul? You're on the way to Korban Pesach and suddenly you remember you have chametz at home. What do you do then? Big machlekes. Now those who say that in this case, you should go and do the Korban Pesach and forget the chametz, because this is chorus if you don't bring Korban Pesach. And going and chametz having in your house is not chorus, only if you eat it. But if you have it, you're not chorus. The Magen Avraham says no. You have to go back home, because every second that you didn't get rid of the chametz, you're over by your rabbi matzah. But Korban Pesach, it's a one-off avera.
Isn't on erev Pesach is from the Rabbanon?
No, having chametz from 12 o'clock and onwards. First of all, there's a mitzvah tashbisu, and every second that you don't do tashbisu, you're doing an avera. And according to Rashi, by Yerob, by Yematzah starts from 12 o'clock as well. So you have like two averas, tashbisu, by Yerob, versus Korban Pesach, it's one off, one avera, that's it. Here, every single second you're liable. So the Magen Avraham says, if you cannot, you got to go home and get rid of the chametz. And others disagree. Anyway. Then he says the next case, what about if you're on the way to save a Jew from a goy? Lahatzel min anochim, you're going to save a Jew who's being beaten by goyim, or min anor, rescue him from drowning, min alistim, or from murderers, min adleka, from a fire, min apilas, from an avalanche, you know, or something is collapsing. Yevatel b'liboy, you should What do you do here? Here, even if you have enough time to go home, don't go home. Go and save the Jew's life and yevatel beliba. Go ahead and just do bittul. Just do bittul. What happens if you don't have enough time? If what happens is after 1 o'clock, but you have enough time to go home, what should you do then? So some people say then you should go home. And that's what it seems from the Rashi here. And others say that you still do not go home. If you cannot do bittul, so be it. So you'll be over by your own, but you got to save the Jew first. Even though you think you have enough time, don't put the guy's life at risk. Then he says, but what about if Lishboy Shvisa Rashus? It's Erev Yom Tov, right? And you want to be able to walk on Yom Tov an extra 2,000 amas, so you're going out on the way to put food down somewhere. And then suddenly you remember you have chametz at home. Then I don't care how much time you have, Yachzemiya, go home, because this is only a Rashus. The problem with that is we learned in Gemara Erevin, according to one opinion, that's halacha. You don't make an Erev Chumin unless it's a mitzvah. So what do you mean Rishus? So Taisa says it means you're going to the Seder. You want to go to the Seder that night to walk outside the Chum, so you're organizing before. So even though it's a nice thing, you can call it a mitzvah as far as Chum is, but it's not really a mitzvah as far as over here. The Rishami says it's talking about going to learn by your Rebbe. And that's not called a mitzvah. Why? The Shulchan Aruch says you can learn at home. Who said you have to go to a shir? You can learn at home. And others say, compared to the mitzvah of let's say Pesach or Milah, having a suddah is not really called a mitzvah. And learning by a Rebbe is not in the same class of mitzvah. These are kurus, and so therefore we'll call it a rishus. The same idea, v'chein mishi yotzim yishlaim. You took a part of an animal with you out of yishlaim. V'niski, remember, sheyesh b'yodiv sakari. Remember, you have in your hand flesh of a carbon. Im of, and once you take out yishlaim, it's puzzle. The question is, you have to go back home, just like by chametz. Im of atzayv, you passed a place called tzayfim. What tzayfim means, like Mount Kopas, any way that you can see yishlaim from. Tzayfim, burn it wherever you're at. V'imla, but if you're not so far away, chayzev v'tzayfim, go back to yishlaim and burn it. Lifnei habir batzim rocha, in the base of Migdash with the wood of the marocha, with the wood from the mizbeach itself. That's what Rashi learns. Others say you can burn it anywhere in Yerushalayim, but if you want to have access to the wood from the mizbeach, you have to burn it in the base of Migdash. And Rashi seems to learn that you always have to burn in the base of Migdash. Ad kam in chayzin, what's quantity, what size of food should it be for chametz to go back home and for over here the carbon? The mayor says zevazek be both size an egg. The biyudaim is zevazek kazay, both the size of a kazayis. Why an egg? I think Mara will explain, because tumah, to disseminate tumah, it has to be the size of an egg. So therefore, that's chashuv. The same thing when you have chametz at home. When do we force you to go back home? Only if it's the size of an egg. Or a carbon, when do we force you to go back to Beis HaMikdash to burn it? Only if it's the size of an egg. Rabbi Yehuda says, zev zev kezayis. Chametz and carbon is a kezayis, because when it comes to the avera, eating chametz, how much chametz you're not allowed to eat that you get chorus and all that, a kezayis. So therefore, you should go home for a kezayis. And same with the carbon. The chametz depends. Basar kaid, if it's a carbon, because ice, because it's more significant, or because, as Taisa says, you have no, or the Shama says you have no other options, nothing else you can do with it. It's pasul. The chametz bekabeya, but chametz up to the egg. Why are we more lenient? Because chametz you can always make bittul. Says in whatever minute we ask the question, you tell me that an engagement party is a sudas mitzvah. We learned a haylich lechol sudas. If you're going to eat a meal of an engagement based chametz of the house of your father-in-law, or lishbeis shvisas or shuls, or you're going to extend the tchum in a voluntary way, it's not really a mitzvah. Yach zemeyah, go home. So it says clearly here, an engagement party is not a mitzvah. Go home. Amrich lekasha harab yudavyez. It's an argument to tonight. Time we learn. Sudas is an engagement party. Rishus. It's not a wedding. It's an engagement party. It's only a rishus. It's not a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi says mitzvah to mitzvah. Says the Gemara, "V'hash to damar Rabchizik machleib sudashniyah." Now that Rabchizik explained, there were two meals they used to make for engagement party. First one was the tanoim, like an engagement party. The second one was that the chassan would give presents to the kala, and that one there is an argument: does it also constitute a seudas mitzvah or not? Avos sudashniyah hakol mitzvah. Everyone agrees it's a mitzvah. Then after the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda can say that both the mishnah and the brayis of Yehuda lekasha. Habis sudashniyah mishnah that says it's a mitzvah is talking about the first engagement party. And when it says not a mitzvah, it's talking about the second engagement party. Tanya, we learned. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, now we're talking about so this mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda said, and Yishamayti also the Edison. I only heard that an engagement party is a mitzvah of a loisiv loinus, not the party you give presents at. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Anishamayti, I heard so this Edison visiv loinus, the party that engagement party and the party they gave presents. Tanya, Rishmin says, Kol su'udu she'ena shol mitzvah, any meal which is not a sudas mitzvah, ain't tam chacham rashay lahanus menu. a Talmud Chacham should not join. It's frivolity, it's not a Sfas Mitzvah, you should not join. Going my, what's considered not a, in other words, a meal that should have been a Sfas Mitzvah, and it turned out to be it's not, you shouldn't join. What example? Now, Omar Yom Yechon said, Kigoyim Bas Koyin Li Yisrael. If a Yisrael marries a daughter of a Koyin, it is not a good thing, and it's not a Sfas Mitzvah. We'll talk about it in a minute. Bas Talmud Chacham La Amah Oretz, or the daughter of a Talmud Chacham marries an Amah Oretz. Rabbi Yom Yechon said, Bas Koyin Li Yisrael. If a Bas Koyin, a daughter of a Koyin, marries a Yisrael, Ein Zivugun Oyle Yofa. Things are not going to work out. Mahi, what do you mean? Amar Rav Chizda, Oy Almana, either she'll become a widow, young, Oy Gurusha or divorcee, Oy Zere Ein Lo, she will be barren without any children. But Masnita, Tana Brayta, learn him further, Koy Vro, either he'll bury her, Oy Kavroso, she'll bury him, Oy Meviyosel of the Anias, will bring it to poverty. So you tell me it's not good for Yisrael to marry a daughter of a coin. Ain, it's not so, Amar Rav Yechon, she is Ash. If you want to become wealthy, Yidabig Bezad Shalal, marry, search out the daughter of a Koyan. Koshkein should tell you to Kun Mashos. And if you know how to learn, then you have two credits. You're learning Torah and the fact that she's a Bas Koyan and it's a good omen. Loikasha, Haba Talmud Chacham, Haba Am Oretz. And we say that a Talmud Chacham is a lot of married Bas Koyan. In fact, it's a good thing. Am Oretz can't. So the Rebbe, whenever somebody used to write to the Rebbe that he's marrying a Bas Koyin, the Rebbe would always give the answer, make sure you learn one Masechta before the wedding. Because if you remember the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yudalef, we learned over there that a Talmud Chacham is somebody who knows Masechta Kala. Now there's an argument Rashi and Tosfos what that means. It means you have to know the whole Shas, even the little tiny Masechtas that no one learns, even Daf Yemi doesn't learn. Or it means even one little Masechta renders you a Talmud Chacham. So we follow that even one Masechta makes a Talmud Chacham. So if somebody marries a Bas Koyin, they should learn a Masechta. Some people do Masechta Ovis, others do a proper Gemara, and so on. So then it's a good thing. Rabbi Shua, the Gemara gives a few examples. Rabbi Shua, Nosiv Khan, Rabbi Shua married a Kohen Chola. She was sick the rest of his life. He was very weak. Omar, he says, obvious, Lenicha Leila Aaron, my wife's Zayda, Aaron HaKoyin, is not very happy, the Adbig Bezared, that I attach myself to his children. To have a lechastikin, they should have a son-in-law like me. He wasn't happy, so he made me suffer. Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Nosiv Khan, he married a Bas Koyin. Nof Kamine, Trei Bonei Smicha. He had two children who became great rabbis. Rav Shaisi Bar Ravidi, Rav Shub Bar Ravidi. Omar, a papa said, a papa, Eloi Nosiv Nekahanta, if I did not marry a Koyin, Loi Yi Ate, I never would have become as rich as I was. So some people had good fortunes with Koyin, Bas Koyin, and some didn't. Omar, Rav Kamine said, Amar Rav Kana kind of said, Eloi Nesiv Nekahant, if I would not have married a Bas Koyin, Loi Galoi, I never would have gone to exile. We're going to learn the Gemara Baba Kama at the end, the whole story, how Rav Kana killed somebody who was threatening to go and inform the government, and as a result of that, he had to flee because somebody mased that he killed the Goy. So he said, the only reason why all this happened to me is because I married a Bas Koyin. Amar Leva Mokot Torah, you went to Israel. So you learned Torah, and in fact, you were warned when you went to Israel, be careful, because Rav Kahana was extremely sharp and behaved with Rabbi Yechonon, because he might kill you. And Gemara tells the story, Rabbi Yechonon killed Rav Kahana, and then he had to be Chaim Mason him, leaving in suspense until we get to Gemara Baba Kama at the very end. It's a beautiful story there. Says the Gemara, he said, nevertheless, Loi galoi kedigli inche. I didn't end up going to Israel the way everybody else goes with COVID. I had to run and flee to save my life. So if you enjoy a Suda that should have been a mitzvah, and instead it wasn't, in the end you'll go to exile. Shalem it says, V'oichlim korim mitzvahin, they eat these fat sheep, V'agolim mitzvah marbik, and they eat these calves, and l'ksiv l'chein ata yiglu b'rej goylem, you're going to lead the pack, you're going to lead exilers. That's what I learned. Now we're going to learn a number of things in Gemara that you're going to find a little bit difficult to fathom. Wait till we finish and I'll explain to you what's going on. That's what I learned. Kol Talmud Chacham Hamarbe Shadozu Chomokim, any Talmud Chacham that eats too much, Soif Machir is Beisa, he will destroy his family, Uma'almen is Ishtoi, because he's going to have to go raise funds to keep on supporting his appetite, and then or he will go and work abroad, so his wife will live like a living widow, Umiyasim is Geizel, the children will be like orphans, the Talmud and Mishtaki, man, he doesn't have time to learn properly, so he'll forget, Umachlek is Rabbi's boys, Allah, we have many arguments, people will have many opponents. Udvarav Einan Nishmaim, people will no longer listen to his words. Umechalal Shem Shemaim, will desecrate Hashem's name. V'shem Rabbi, v'shem Avid, his teacher, his father. V'goyim Shem Ra Loi Ulavonav, him and his children. Ulevnei Vanov and his grandchildren ad soif kol adoid until Mashiach comes. Why? Mai. Once he's dead, he's dead. Amar Abayi, no. Everyone talks about Yichus, right? Oh, my Zayde was this, my grandfather was this. In this case, his great grandchildren, when people say, no, where do you come from? They'll cuddle and say, you know who your great grandfather was? Bar Machim Tanuri, he used to constantly hang around the kitchen, turn the oven on and pots on because he used to eat all day. Rabba Bar Marki Bekubi, the son of a clown. But your Zayde was a clown. Papa Bar Malachi Pinchi, your Zayde will be, you know where you come from? From your great grandfather used to be known as the plate licker. They never needed a dishwasher because he used to lick all the plates clean. Rav Shmaya Bar Moch Reva, that your Zayde never made it home to go to sleep. He always used to fall asleep on the streets. He used to go to the bars and he used to use his coat as his pillow. Tell him I've learned. Now we're talking about prescriptions for healthy marriages. We learn hearing Mari Vamas. A person should sell everything he has, marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Now, why is it so important to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham? Because she is sensitive to the importance and value of Torah and Mitzvahs. She'im meis, if you, the father of the children, dies young, a goyle, go to exile, muftichla, you know, so you're secure with the knowledge, shebonav Talmud Chacham, your children will grow up Talmud Chacham. Because your wife also appreciates the value of learning Torah. But do not marry the daughter of Amoritz, because since she grew up in a house where Torah has no meaning whatsoever, she may say, what hope do your kids have? Even though you think that you can run it, what happens if you're not at home? Torah we learned, La'olam yimkar adam kol ma sheyesh, the person's life he has, v'yisa bas l'avachachem, l'avachachem, and v'yasi bitcha, make sure your own daughter marries a talmud chacham. Marshall, this is the famous song, Inve ha-geffen be-inve ha-geffen, when grapes meet up with other grapes. So the two grapes bring out the best quality of each other. Dovana umis kabel. It's a beautiful thing, and everybody hears it and say, wow, what a beautiful shidduch. But v'layisa bas ha'maris, don't marry the daughter of an ha'maris. Mashal, this is an example, inve ha'gefen be'inve ha'sneh. That this is the grapes of grapes together with the berries from a thorn bush. And what are people going to say? Dovakar, this is despicable. The Einam is Kabul. It's not acceptable anywhere. Talk about the third thing. Now the Gemara says a very interesting thing. Okay, we have a caste system. So let's say the highest level of the Talmud Chacham. What's the next level and the next level? Says the Gemara. Loi Matzah Bas Talmud Chacham. You couldn't find for your son the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Yisa Bas Gedolah Hadar. She married the daughter of a Gadol Hadar. A Gadol Hador is a lower class than Talmud Chacham. You see all these articles in Hamadiyah. But this Gadol Hador and that Gadol Hador, you realize now that Gadol Hador is not as great as Talmud Chacham. The Rashi says the Gadol Hador is people who have good activities and are righteous, they do all the mitzvahs properly. What about Lamotz about the Lord? You couldn't find a Gadol Hador. Then, Yisa, you should marry Bas Rosh Knesses. You should marry the daughter of the head of the committees. Of the shul committee. Loi Motza Bash Rosh Knesses, he couldn't find any daughters there. Yisa Bas Gabbai Tzedakah, then marry the daughter of a Gabbai Tzedakah because it means he's honest. As learning more about Basa, the Gabbai Tzedakah has to be like Hanani Mitradin and be very honest. Loi Motza Bas Gabbai Tzedakah, he couldn't find the daughter of a Gabbai Tzedakah, then Yisa Bas Malanich, then marry a teacher, the daughter of a teacher. Taste has a whole discussion there, who's greater, a fundraiser or a teacher. But one thing for sure, the loy yisa bas ame aris, do not marry the daughter of aris, and the Gemara now will use very evocative language. Bipnei shehein shekets, they are disgusting. Unusheseyem sherets, and their wives in amaris are like a sherets, a creepy crawly. Ba'abunaseyem, if you marry the daughter of amaris, you're committing a sin. You know what sin? Arur sheichiv im kol behema. You're not allowed to live with an animal. It's bestiality. Rashi says over here that the Shosei and Sheretz, because they're not careful in mitzvahs, and Im Kol Behema, because the girls are like a behema, because they don't understand the sensitivity to Torah mitzvahs. And that is why you have in some communities that they don't marry, let's say, a Baal Shuvah, because they say, the Gemara says right here, you shouldn't marry Bas Hamaretz. But the Chidor writes in Birkei Yosef, they're totally wrong. Rashi says, because the girl has no sensitivity to her mitzvahs, but if she is a Baal Shuvah, then on the contrary, Who cares about a parent? She personally has sensitivity. And it says in other places, in fact, it's better at Balas Tshuva because she consciously decided to follow Torah and Mitzvahs. So she's more aware of Mitzvahs and she's far more sensitive to Mitzvahs and Torah than a person who just grew up from, you know, and he doesn't have that much value because he had no choice. He was indoctrinated. So different communal philosophies. Tanya Rabbi says, now that we're talking about Amoritz, we'll continue. But I want you to know that there's different kinds of Amoritz, and I'll tell you at the end of the Gemara what kind of Amoritz we're talking about. Rebbe says, Amoritz osa lechel basa. And Amoritz is not that has to be vegan. Shenemar says, Zois toidus habehemeva oiv. This is the laws of behemeva. Use the word toidus. Kolois of a toidus. What lechel was behemeva? If you learn toidus, you're allowed to eat meat. If you don't learn Torah, you have no right. Because when you learn Torah, you're different, a higher madriga than an animal. If you don't learn Torah when you should, and you're no different than an animal, what right do you have to eat it? But it does say that on Shabbos and Amoritz is allowed to eat meat as well. Because everybody's in a higher level. Amar Rav Lazar, Am Ha'oretz mutul noichi b'yem kippur le'm Shabbos. Am Ha'oretz, you're allowed to kill on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. Amar Tamid of Rebbe Emma the Shecht, they use a more elegant language, say you're allowed to shecht. On Amoritz, Amalan Zetom Bracha. I couldn't want Shech, because Shechti people think you need a Bracha. But Zetom Bracha, and we don't want to associate Hashem's name with this Amoritz. The Harif was very perplexed by this thing. So the Harif says, it's talking about if you see an Amoritz chasing after a woman, trying to rape her, she's a married woman, or after a male trying to rape him, then it's a mitzvah to kill him. So the Rosh asks, how can that be? Then why an Amoritz? Anybody. The law is, if you see anybody trying to rape someone, you have to defend her, up, you know, even kill the person. So Svasemis answers, if it's an Amar Oritz, then you can, if chasing after a woman, you can assume that if you catch up with a woman, it's exactly what he's going to do, to rape her. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, then even though he's chasing her, we're hoping that he'll do tshuva before he gets this, or talk to him, try to remind him what kind of terrible sin it is, and maybe you'll get him to stop. The Rosh learns, we're talking about an Amar Oritz. The Rosh and Tosfos both learn, and the next few things we're going to learn about an Amar Oritz, talking about an Amar Oritz, who is nothing to do with ignoramus. It's an Amoritz who knows the whole Torah mitzvahs, but he's spiteful, and he's not a mensch. He's a murderer, a robber, and everything else. Even though we're using the term Amoritz, it's a very loose term. Amar Blazer, Amoritz, that kind of Amoritz, also slavas him, that you should make sure you don't get a private escort with him. Shneimer says, Kihi chayecha v'orechimecha, this is your life and the length of your days. Al chayiv lechos, the Torah is supposed to give you extra life. And this Amoritz refuses to learn Torah. It doesn't care about his own life. Al chayiv chavecha v'orechimecha, you think he cares about your life? Amoritz mutul lekar yudag, you let her rip apart an Amoritz, just like a fish. Amoritz b'yitzchok umigabay, and you can tear apart from his back, and there's no problem whatsoever. Says one of Rav Kiva says, I used to be an Amoritz till he was 40 years old, and I remember kishayisi Amoritz, antipathy that Amoratzim had for rabbis was worse than tzedukim. He says here, kishayisi Amoritz amarti miyitin li talmud chacham, just let me get my hands on the talmud chacham va'anashchenu. And I will bite him, like a donkey bites people. Why don't you just say like a dog, which is a bit less, you know, not so strident. When a donkey gives a bite, it breaks all the bones. But a dog gives a bite, so there was this terrible schism between Amoratzim, and we're talking about Amoratzim, not like Nicaraguans. They were knowledgeable, but they're apokorsim. And not only apokorsim, and spiteful, but they were not mentioned. They didn't behave like an ordinary person. They were robbers and everything else. Tanya Remarimir, Kol Amesi, Bid Lamoritz. If you marry your daughter off to an Amoritz, Kilo Kovsa or Menichav Neri, as if you're tying her up and you're placing her in front of a lion. Ma'ari Doides Vayuchel, just like a lion, you know, treads on his prey and eats it while they're still alive. Aim Le Boys' point, there's no shame. Af Amoritz, Maka, he beats his wife. The Gemara clearly says that there was abuse. Will boil, and then he has marital relations with her without appeasing her. The ain't laid boys upon him, zero shame. Tanya Baladomi, the only reason why we're still alive is Lamoni on Zichel and Lamazamat, and Amoratim need us for business to have someone to sell their goods to, Hayo Chogin, or so they would have killed us. That's how much they hate us, they despise us. If you learn Torah before an Amoritz, the Torah belongs to every Jew, even to an Amoritz. Even to this despicable person, the Torah belongs to them, is engaged to every Jew. So if you learn Torah in front of them and they don't like the Torah, it's as if you're mocking them and you are committing adultery with their fiancés. Engage. Then the Gemara concludes, which gives you an idea what kind of Amoritz we're talking about. It's greater the hate and antipathy. The Ram Oretz has to a Talmud Chacham Yoyis a greater than Sina Shesoinin Oivdek Chacham Es Yisrael, greater than the hate that anti-Semites have to Eden. Unishayseyen Yoyis a man, but the wise of Aratzim are even worse than they are. Even worse than they are. And I'm not sure why the wives hate Tamachom more than her husband. But they do. Tanu we learned. But worse than all is a Shana of Pidish. Somebody who knew how to learn, was a Talmud Chacham, and then decided to become, to rebel. He's worse than all of them, because he knows both sides of the coin, and he knows that he's a traitor against them. There's a Gemara. Tanu we learned. She shadvorim, six things, nemru ba'al mi'amara. Six things said about Namara is number one. Now we're not talking about Namara anymore. We're talking about Namara. Maybe in Turban Amaritz who does not do Teremitzes properly, but he's a mensch. A meisel and edus. We do not ever call them up and say, why don't you become an aide for an event? Because they don't know the laws and you can't really trust that, you know, they might bend the rules, think, oh, this is good enough. I didn't really see it, but I think I know, so that's good enough. They come and tell a story, we don't accept their testimony. You never reveal confidential secrets because they can't keep their mouth shut. You don't ever appoint him an executor of the state of orphans because they might swindle the orphans, thinking that they deserve it because they work so hard. Nor do you put him on the charity as in charge, because you can never trust him. They'll never be escorted by them on the road. If you lost an object, you don't ever give it back to him. But the first Tana holds, you do. Why? Because this Amaris might have children who turn out to be good. And he'll bear it in heritage. And then it says, Yochin Amaris will prepare it, the tzaddik yilvash, and the tzaddik will wear it. And the Gemara in the Dharma actually says that why is it that the children of Talmidei Chachamim sometimes become totally non-religious and the children of Aratzim sometimes grow up properly. So therefore you have to treat it, his belongings belong to him. The Mefarshim already asked, how do you know the lost object belongs to the Lama Aretz? So Taisa says that you saw a whole caravan of Aratzim came by and suddenly you found an object, so therefore you know it's one of theirs. Think about it further. V'chein misha yotze lememra shrameir holds kibay the chashmei holds that the size of an egg is chashiv to go home to clean out the chametz. Less than that is not significant. And abudas over kazai is not a chashiv. An olive is also chashiv. So that's the question. Rami asks the question. At kam he mezamin, how much food should you eat before you bench? That's significant enough. Or how much food should you eat before you make a mezumin three people together? Abudas at kazai. So Meir says the size of an olive. In our Mishnah, he says, what's significant, the size of an egg? And here he says, the size of an olive. Rabbi Yehuda says, at kebe, the size of an egg. The opposite of what says in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. Mukhlefes hashita, swap them around. Abai says, don't swap them around. Hosam bekroi pligi. Hocha besvara pligi. There they're arguing on psukim. When it comes to benching, they're arguing on psukim. And here they're arguing on logic. And goes as follows. Hosam b'krei p'gang p'sukim r'mei. It holds v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. Chalta means eating. Whenever it says achila, it's the size of an olive. I, savata, being full. Full is referring to drinking. And achila b'kazais. Eating is a kazais. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like r'mei that you bench when you ate an olive. Mezumah is an olive. So Shulchan Aruch says an interesting thing. And when you make a mezumin, since it says v'chalta v'savata, whoever leads a mezumin should be someone who drank wine, because v'savata is drinking, and v'chalta is a kazayis, then it has to be savata drinking wine, or at least drinking some liquids. Rabbi Yehuda holds v'chalta v'savata achila, how much should you eat? Sheyesh b'seir, not to be full. Be'ezezu kebe'er, the size of an egg. Most Rishonim hold this is only midrabbanan, because ma'atayda, you don't bench unless you are full, satisfied. The Rabbana said an egg or an olive, and the psukim we're using is only on asmachta. We're relying on it, but it's not really what the pasuk is trying to say. The Raivin, however, holds that this is mahatayra. And the question is, everyone asks on the Raivin, the Gemara says in Brachas that Hashem says the reason why I favor the Yidin is I said v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. And the hein medaktikin al atzman, they are so careful, they eat a kazayis, they eat a beya, they bench. So it sounds like you don't have to bench when you eat an olive or an egg. So Rav Sheva gives a beautiful answer. The Gemara is talking about that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, miraculously, they used to eat the size of an Egyptian bean, and they were full. But Mahatoyda, according to Ravid, you don't bench unless you ate an olive or an egg. And that's what Gemara is saying. Even though they were full, when they ate half of an olive, they forced themselves to eat a full olive so they can bench from the Torah. That's what the Chacham Tovah says. Anyway, now what about when it comes to our Mishnah? What's the argument based on? Hocha b'svora, the argument of svora. A mayor holds chazar rosa kitumase. You only go back the size that you make tomei matumase by the size of an egg. Av chazar rosa the size of an egg. Av Yehuda holds chazar rosa coming back ki isuri. How much chametz aren't you allowed to eat? Ma isuri b'kazayis. You're not allowed to eat chametz the size of a kazayis or meat taking out of Yishalayim or out of the base of the size of kazayis. Af chazarosei, going back, is the size of an olive. Tanya Rav Noson Eimer says, Zev is actually beim. I hold that it has to be a much larger amount. If you have two eggs, the size of chametz, or two eggs, that's when you have to go home. Otherwise, just rely on bittel. Lahoyda chametz did not agree at all. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. Mirtz Hashem.